So the stadium is a resting spot for people as they go from the border of Guatemala and Mexico to Tijuana. Most people have walked from between 22 to 30 days. They're exhausted.
For the past several months, thousands of members of a migrant caravan have traveled to Mexico from Central America. Many have arrived in the border state of Tijuana to mixed reaction. Our guest, Carrie Kennedy of the American Friends Service Committee here in Philadelphia, recently visited members of the caravan in Mexico City before they traveled to Tijuana. She talked to people and shared their stories.
One of the best things I saw there was this unit of clowns. So Mexico City provided clowns. And they were playing games with the kids. They were playing Ring Around the Rosie. They were playing jump rope. They were playing like hide and seek. They were giving out candy.
From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette Joan Hall. Today's show, Sane Asylum. So recently, an 11-member delegation traveled to Mexico to help a caravan fleeing Guatemala seeking asylum in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And you were part of that delegation?
That's right. So there's a civil rights brigade that traveled with the caravan from the border of Guatemala to Mexico City, and we provided human rights observations and monitoring.
When the average people think of a caravan, they think of this big old cart with all kinds of people hanging off of it. But what is the caravan in reality? Is it people in vehicles? Are they on foot? What does it look like?
So the caravan is basically the name for groups of people who are migrating from El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala to the U.S.-Mexico border. And the way that they migrate, it happens in many different ways. People would love to get rides that whole way because it's a very long, arduous, difficult journey. So it's groups of people who organically have sprung up to travel together, and mostly they've done that for safety.
And this hasn't just been going on this year, as many would lead us to believe.
So people are fleeing because of violence, and we often hear poverty, but nobody that I met with is fleeing only for poverty. Everybody is fleeing because they're in violent communities and violence that has been exacerbated by some of the U.S. foreign policies that have been enacted on trade. We've supported some repressive regimes in the 1980s and in the 90s, and that has led a carryover legacy of violence.
All of this set the stage for a sustained and violent U.S. intervention across Central America during the 1980s, backing vicious local allies in wars that claimed hundreds of thousands of lives, displaced millions, and set in motion the social breakdown that today forces many thousands to flee north.
So tell us about the deported dreamer you met.
Yeah. Brian, you know, walked up to me and he said, "I'm an American." Apparently, he moved to Austin, Texas when he was 5 years old. His mother applied for asylum. So he had asylum, and his mother had difficulties with alcohol and perhaps did not ever refile the paperwork, but he wasn't aware of that. He went to high school and he went to community college in the United States. He firmly considers himself an American. And he was working in a landscaping business with his uncle when he was picked up by an ICE raid and deported back to Guatemala City. So the caravan was passing through. And I said, "What made you try again after you've been deported?" And he said, "America is my home and I want my chance to make it legal." I met a mother who had four children. One of her young children was killed by gang violence.
Sí, la que tienen entre nosotros es migrante, porque sinceramente no somos malas personas, sinceramente lo que
vamos a buscar. No way to raise her other three children in a way that could give them a healthy lifestyle and where they could escape violence. So she wasn't planning on leaving. She's just always been looking for another opportunity. So you get people like this young mother. She didn't plan on leaving, but an opportunity presented itself and she took it.
Why do you think that now that many of the caravan people are in Tijuana, Mexico sounds like it's pushing back a little and doesn't want to provide the services to them anymore? And there have actually been some protests by Mexican people against the migrants being there.
Right now we're watching Tijuana, Mexico, where residents are protesting the arrival of about 3,000 migrants from Central American areas.
Well, the fascinating thing is that, you know, Mexico obviously is not a monolith. And like every state government has had different responses to the migrants. So in Mexico City, it was really great. There were some problems with some officials and police in Chiapas. In other places, we heard that people who were very poor were coming out on the streets to give food. And so everyday people really rallied. Unfortunately, there is this rising xenophobic sentiment that is developing from some pockets in Tijuana. And when we were in Mexico City together, we were monitoring some of the hate speech from the social media sites that was coming out of Tijuana. And the most disturbing thing that I saw was a tagline that had been adopted by some of the groups in Tijuana that said, "Keep immigrants out, keep migrants out, make Mexico great again."
Oh.
What's happening right now as a large group of people, they call it a caravan, and in that caravan, you have some very bad people. You have some very bad people. And we can't let that happen.
We are exporting this xenophobic attitude. And, we're, you know, when our highest officials can use that horribly negative rhetoric that dehumanizes people, it gives it legitimacy.
So last year, the United States fielded more than 300,000 asylum claims, and that nearly doubled from 2 years earlier. And we have recently surpassed Germany as the highest country in the world that are filling asylum seekers. So do you think that we are going to be able to handle this burden? And do you think that there has to be a way in which we can lessen the number of asylum seekers?
You know, in the scope of our federal budget, the resources that go towards those 300,000 people, so small. We've been at war in Afghanistan for decades. We have the money if we prioritize differently, if we put more money toward education, economic development, protection of people who are trying to come and work to make this country a great country, a wonderful country that embraces all. I think that is only to our benefit. We can absorb many more people.
But in reality, Carrie, what do you think their chances are of A, getting into the United States, and B, being able to successfully apply for asylum?
Well, I can't say for sure what a percentage would be. I do know that it will be difficult at this point to get to the United States and to successfully apply for asylum. There's 2,000 people on a wait list in Tijuana right now. There are people arriving every day. And, you know, if you have 5,000 or 6,000 or 7,000 people, then a very small amount might actually get through the asylum process. So I don't know what what will happen. Maybe people will decide to stay in Tijuana, or maybe they'll go back. You know, there are people that are offering them return routes to go home. But some people said they're going to try anything they can. You know, one person said, I would rather die trying than die staying.
Carrie Kennedy, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I really appreciate it. Thanks for hearing the stories.
Carrie Kennedy is the Associate General Secretary for International Programs at the American Friends Service Committee. A recent USA Today poll showed 54% of Americans see the immigrant caravan as some kind of threat, but 70% say they should be able to qualify for asylum in the United States. That's it for the show. The Why is produced by me and Shai Binyakov. You can find us on Twitter at Shai Binyakov and at Annette JH. Thanks to engineers Mike Fillers and Al Banks, and our intern Kelsey Hansen for production help. Subscribe to The Why wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to drop a review. That really helps us. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.